Self would be fine. Regular meeting. We have a lot to get through tonight, and we're going to start things off with our state auditor. Could I ask who will be presenting tonight?
Shouldn't we have an approval of the agenda first?
Yes, just a housekeeping issue, and then we will do that.
I plan on sharing my screen, Amanda Robinson.
Thank you, Amanda.
I plan on sharing my screen, Amanda Robinson.
Ooh. Commissioner Talon is connected.
He is. All right. I think we are set up and good to go. All right. So, moving through our heavy agenda this evening, the first order of business is approval of the agenda.
I move we approve the agenda as presented.
Commissioner Towers, are you live?
I am live, seconded.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Do we want to go through our public input consent agenda, or do we want to just dive right into the state auditor's report?
So we dive right in so they
Dive right
can
in. All
cycle
right.
them through.
So take it away, Amanda. Tell us what we need to know.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm going to share my screen, and then it looks like it's still disabled, the share function.
Amanda, I'm going to pause there. We're having a very hard time with your audio coming through. Is there anything you can try differently, or is that something we need to fix on our end? Commissioner Towers came through loud and clear, but we're hearing a little bit of an echo and an unclear audio.
Is that better?
That was better, yes. Oh, that's not better.
No? Okay.
One, two, three, four.
Amanda, I'd be happy to speak for you until you have the audio corrected. Oh, okay. Well, I will let Amanda present her screen, the presentation that we have, but I'll actually be the one opening it up for us this evening. And I'll even take over for Amanda too, so while she has her audio troubles that hopefully she can troubleshoot while we're working together. But I'd like to start off by saying good evening. We're very excited to be with you all virtually this evening to wrap up our audit of South Whidbey Fire and EMS. Just some quick introductions. My name is Christina Baylor. I serve as the audit manager for one of our regional offices for the state auditor's office. We have an office located in Mill Creek, and throughout the years, I've been with the office for about 20 years now. We've had the pleasure of working with South Whidbey Fire for kind of many years, and then we took a pause to let our Bellingham team work with you, and we have since started working with you again. So we're always kind of trying to shift the workload around a little bit, but my team was very excited to begin working with South Whidbey again. Tonight's meeting is our exit conference, and I'd love to introduce the two members of my staff that are joining because they spent a lot of time working with your team. So, Amanda Robinson served as the audit supervisor for the district's most recent audit, and Deb Kittinger served as the audit lead. So, Deb asked all the hard-pressing questions throughout the audit and kept your team busy. So, they are both joining this presentation tonight to help share these results, and we do have a virtual presentation that we have prepared for you. So, I'll let Amanda share her screen to make sure that pops up. Is no access yet?
No access yet.
Okay.
Stand by one. We're working on you.
Okay. Well, while you work on that, I will say, in addition to the virtual presentation, we did send over a packet of information. I think you might already have that in your board meeting packets. We don't plan to speak directly from the packet. We do have all of the information will be summarized in the virtual presentation, but we will reference a few key page numbers as we move through tonight's material. We'll just pause here until we get that coming up.
see if you can do it now.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Perfect. Looks like we have that up and ready. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, tonight's presentation is what we call an exit conference. It's a chance to share the results of the most recent audit with you all before they become published on our external website and finalized on our end. So it's a great opportunity to not only share these with you, but also answer any questions that you might have. We will pause at the end of our presentation to see if there's any questions, but for now, we'll just go ahead and jump right in. All right. So before we go into the specific results, we always like to take a moment to share a little bit about the audit process, just in case we have anybody that's new to going through a state auditor's office audit. So our office takes our role to be the auditor of all public funds very seriously. We are actually appointed by the state legislature and written into the state constitution to be the auditor of all public funds. That does mean that we have to perform regular audits of all state and local governments, including all fire districts across the state on a very regular cycle. So the cycle can change depending on how large your district is, your prior audit results, but it's at least every 3 years. But no matter how often we conduct the audit, we do have three goals that we hope are shared goals just from going through the audit process. The first is just increasing trust in government operations. We're both public stewards. And so just really, we view, the audit process as a tool for you both as members of management and the governing body, just so you can see from an independent party how your operations are working, if there's anything that is going really well that we can provide reassurance to you, or if there's any opportunities for the district to continue to improve. We are independent to your internal processes and policies. So everything that is provided is separate. We can't be part of your decision-making process. We can only share externally what we see in terms of if it's compliant with state laws, regulations, and all of the accounting rules and best practices that we see statewide. And then lastly, we do know that audits can and sometimes do result in audit recommendations. And whether they have recommendations or not, please know that we do take very seriously what the recommendations are, and we want them to be helpful and understandable to you. So as we move through the materials, if there's questions again, please let us know once we get to that point so that we can make sure that you understand the nature of them and how to adopt or kind of work on them as we go forward. So with that, we conducted two separate audits for the district. The first is what we call an accountability audit, where we take a look at the district's compliance with state laws, regulations, contracts, agreements, your own policies and procedures, and then just in general, safeguarding of public funds. Both audits that we are going to share for you tonight covered a two-year audit period from 2021 through 2022. And I will let Deb jump in here, and she's going to walk you through the accountability audit results.
All right. So as Christina mentioned, we conducted an accountability audit that covered the period from January 1st of 2021 through December 31st of 2022. So we're just going to kind of summarize what we've discovered, what we've learned about your processes and procedures and your compliance. And what we have noted in these selected areas, the district operations complied in all material aspects with applicable state laws, regulations, and its own policies, and provided adequate controls over the safeguarding of public resources. And that's a good result. We did note certain matters pertaining to procurement that we will discuss a bit further into the presentation. And additionally to note, we don't look at every transaction or activity, which means that we are only reporting on the areas that we actually examined. Okay, and so the next one. So let's talk about what we did during the accountability audit. At the beginning of any audit, we perform a number of planning procedures. We review the meeting minutes from the board, we analyze trends in financial data, we look at payroll and vendor information, and we conduct risk assessments with several key staff members and a member of the board. And we utilize a risk-based approach, which you kind of hear a lot, to select those areas that we're going to be testing on based on those planning procedures. So, and included on the next two slides are the areas that we identified for additional testing in our audit. So, and again, while we're prepared to discuss each area with you, we've just kind of selected a few areas that we would like to highlight for you today. So the first area that we looked at is the accounts payable. We did a pretty systemic review of the section because we did receive a report on a potential loss of public funds. We spent the majority of our time reviewing general disbursements. We looked at credit cards, we looked at fuel cards, we looked at employee reimbursements, and so on. So we gained a general understanding of the district's processes and controls. We reviewed policies and we tested transactions. We did provide a small recommendation on this area, but there were no significant concerns. The next area that we reviewed is procurement. So again, we did have a management letter that we will discuss more thoroughly in a few more slides. We looked at software conversion. We did an understanding the district had a conversion from BIAS to Springbrook. And so we took a little bit of a look at the data migration of the general ledger. So we also did not identify any major recommendations there. And next, small and attractive assets. So we took a look at theft sensitive assets, specifically IT equipment like computers, hotspots, iPads, and things like that. We reviewed the controls over the program, and then we took a look at documentation to make sure that inventory is being done effectively and on a timely basis, that items are being tracked, and that the district actually has the items on the asset listing. Again, we had a small recommendation, but no significant concerns. And for the open public meetings and general financial condition, we review those sections as a part of every audit, and again, did not identify any major recommendations. Okay, so next we're gonna go ahead and walk you through the management letter over procurement. So before we begin, we wanna note that management letters are not included in our audit report, but they are referenced. While it's still a public document, the item will not be published on our website. So for your reference, you'll find a full version of this letter included on your exit packet on pages 13 and 14. But we're gonna focus our presentation on the details of the letter shown on the second page, which for you would be page 14. So if you want to take a moment and move to that on your section, and then we'll go ahead and do a little bit of an overview on that. So we selected the area of procurement to review. We look at compliance for procurement procedures under state law. For this audit scope, we took a look at purchases that were over the procurement threshold for the 2022 fiscal year. And so we noted the district purchased a fire engine, which is not uncommon for a fire district. However, the district used a purchasing exception to competitive bidding due to a special facilities or market condition, and that's absolutely allowed. So special condition, market conditions, they're kind of limited to sales that might be available for a short time, like used equipment, things like that. So in 2022, the district purchased a fire engine for $640,000, and they did claim the exemption to market bidding, to the formal bidding process based on that special market condition because the fire engine was previously a demonstration vehicle. However, when using that exemption, there are a few other requirements that need to be followed up in terms to use that. So when using those alternatives, we found the district did not perform the additional procedures necessary to support a special market condition, such as passing a resolution explicitly approving that exemption to bidding requirements for the purchase contract. So the district also did not perform and retain an analysis that demonstrated the exemption was reasonable. So typically we like to see that transparency with the board, that the board has been fully notified in passing that resolution. So we did recommend that the district ensure that it adequately documents and evaluates alternatives to bidding requirements to demonstrate the waiver to formal bidding was appropriate. Further, the district should retain its evaluation of the purchase and ensure state bid laws are followed and supported.
Okay, going into the financial statement audit, I hope everybody can hear me okay. This audit was also performed for the same two-year period Christina mentioned, and the purpose of this audit is to issue an opinion on whether or not the district's financial statements for both years were free of material errors and presented correctly in accordance with the BARS manual. We are happy to report a clean, unmodified opinion, and that's the opinion that you want, in accordance with the state allowable regulatory basis of accounting, which is the BARS manual. We do issue an adverse opinion on US GAAP, but that's a technicality. The state of Washington does allow cash basis as a method of accounting. And then we also like to note that our audits are conducted in accordance with government auditing standards, which means that we obtain an understanding of the internal controls and processes that go into preparing the financial statements. And with that, we're happy to report that we identified no significant deficiencies, no deficiencies that we consider to be material weaknesses. And we are also happy to report no instances of noncompliance that were material to the financial statements. As part of this audit, we also did not identify any material misstatements during the audit, and any uncorrected misstatements have been provided for review. As part of this audit, we also get an understanding of ways that management can override controls, and we tested several adjustments to make sure that those were happening in accordance with district policy and were supported, and we found no issues with those. Going into some closing remarks, our audit is almost in alignment with our audit costs that we expected at the beginning of the audit. We did have some fraud work that we have to perform over that submitted loss. Your next audit is scheduled for fall 2025, and it's going to be over the same two audit types, the accountability for public resources and the financial statement audit, and an estimate for that has been included in your packet. Oops. The audit report will be published within the next week or two, so if you do see any errors, please let us know, because we want to get those corrected before it's published. And when it's published, an audit survey will go out for any feedback on our performance. Any feedback is good feedback, so we do encourage you to fill those out. And now we want to give a huge thank you to the district and their staff, particularly Mary Kay, the Fire Chief Walsh, Deputy Chief Dilley, just for all of their support throughout the audit. And particularly, we want to thank Mary Kay, because Mary Kay had to come in partway through the audit and essentially recreate years 2021 and 2022 of the financial statement. So we just want to thank Mary Kay and the rest of your district for the collaboration with our audit team. And we look forward to coming back in 2025.
Sounds like the audit report you want.
Yes. And now we'll open up to any questions.
This is Mike Nablay, one of the commissioners. I appreciate the state going through, and in a sense, although we strive to do everything per the book, per the rules, the one on the management letter, since I was a commissioner at the time, I know that there was not an intentional attempt to circumvent it, but speaking as one member of the board, I appreciate what you do, because you are like you're the inspector that keeps all the government agencies, and including us, on the straight and narrow. And I know from what I've seen in my 5 years or so that staff does desire to do the thing right, and we do. And I assure you, we have another special deal like we got for that fire engine. We will make sure it's accounted properly. So I appreciate that. And in closing, my wife and I voted for your boss, Pat McCarthy. Good job, you all.
Thank you. Well, with that, we appreciate all the interaction, and we look forward to coming back next year. And we hope you have a good rest of your evening and your meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. Have a good rest of your meeting. Good night.
Right. There's so many people here. I don't know what to do. So if we come back to our agenda, we normally at this time would entertain any input from the public, but I do not see any members of the public here to provide that. So moving on, we shall take a look at our consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Could you repeat that, please? The audio is not very good right now.
We have a motion on the table to approve the consent agenda. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Moving on to no unfinished business, we will take it right into new business. And the first item on the agenda is Resolution 2024-13, the investment officer. This is a formality that we should have done sooner, but we were alerted to needing to do it within this calendar year, and so we have this resolution.
Okay, sorry.
It's quite an evening, isn't it? It's quite a time, a day, a week, anybody yeah. else?
So, exactly.
10 days for sure.
The appointment of the investment officer is a routine matter of appointing a investment officer for the district each year that handles putting our additional funds into an investment account. So this is just catching up on that for Mary Kay.
Commissioner Towers.
Could this be extended so it also covers 2025? The way I read it, it was just 2024 and we're almost at the end.
Yeah, I don't see why not. We could strike that and sign it this evening, I suppose.
My question would be, does it need to be done every year? Is it good for as long as Mary Kay is our finance officer? Is that okay with the county? If we can make it for 2024 and 25, I'm in favor.
So why don't the motion be subject to make it 24 and 25 subject to county approval? That way we're taking care of 25 at the same time.
Sounds reasonable. If we have a resolution that covers 25, then we can do that. Otherwise, we'll have to do it for strictly 24.
Not that it's a major deal to do it, but.
I'm hearing a motion to amend this resolution to yeah. include the duration of 2024 and all of 2025, if it's allowable by the county.
Yeah, that would be my motion to approve it for as the chair is presented.
Okay.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you, Mary Kay.
And good catch, Commissioner Towers.
All right, the next resolution we have is 2024-14, surplus gym equipment.
So this is to surplus some gym equipment that we have out at Station 31 currently. It's just older equipment that's in disuse that they would like to surplus.
So Chief, I'm no expert on gym equipment. They look like they're in pretty good shape, but the troops aren't using them?
I think that's correct. Yeah, I'm not sure if they're fully functional at this point, okay. but I think some of them we've just had for a long time and have not been used at all. The gyms, especially like at Station 31, where these are at, is very small. It's a large closet, it's about the size of the closet that we have in the back of this room. So there's just a limited amount of space for equipment.
So you go by the cobweb tests, and if you got a certain number of cobwebs on it, it's surplus.
Exactly.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve this resolution to surplus the...
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. The resolution is passed. Now we have another resolution. This one is 2024-15, adopting the 2025 budget. Let's talk about the 2025 budget.
Okay, so we've looked at several drafts of the budget through the process, and we've wanted to add in some as updated of information as we could as we went forward. So even as late as today, we were receiving estimates for some of the work that we wanted to do in 2025. The latest changes that we made today are found on the, see this, page 8.
This is the attachment that you handed
Yeah,
out.
this is the budget attachment here. If you look to page 8 under capital expenditures.
I'll get to it. Here I am.
We received an updated estimate for the work at the Station 34, turning that into the maintenance facility. We originally had that, I believe, at 250. We got an estimate back today, and I think we're going to be in the neighborhood of 150,000 with a
Nice.
little bit of wiggle room on that.
Nice.
And then on Station 32, you'll see that that is still a fairly high number, but we were able to bring that down a bit because that also includes money for property. Beyond that, we also were able to adjust the salary numbers, which would be pending final approval of the salary matrix. So those could be adjusted depending on what the board wants to do.
Chief, would you clarify on Station 32? You're saying it's 425,000. That's estimate including possible purchase of property in the South End.
Correct.
So how much of that 425 is put in for purchasing property?
I'm going to pause right now because the other issue here is also salary. Are these things that we should discuss in executive session?
To get into the details of that, yes, the
Okay. And
salary.
the real estate amount, is that?
Executive as well, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
So I guess in terms of the sequence, given these very recent updates to our budget and some of the things that we need to discuss in executive session, would it be prudent to move approving the budget to after the executive sessions?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was going to suggest that.
Let it be noted that we will be moving the approval of the budget to the end of the meeting, if that's all right with everybody else. Are there any other components of the budget you'd like to discuss now?
Well, I would just say that we do have to, at the end of the day, we need to approve the budget and the levy, get the levy certification done so we can get this material to the county. We do have time after that, and we have the opportunity to amend the budget as we need to. But I think we're at a pretty good place with the budget. We could make some changes, which would likely be to bigger ticket items, as we go forward over the next couple of months.
Okay. Yeah, we'll set this aside and we'll get more into this later this
Okay.
evening. The next item on the agenda we have already covered, which is the state auditor's exit conference. So we will move it on to our chief's report.
Okay. Get back to the chief's report here. So average monthly call volume, of course, is still up for 2024 with a average monthly of 245 at this point, 245 calls per month. The volume for the month of October was down slightly at 231 calls. The percentage of incident type is fairly consistent throughout. We do have some of these service calls. We are capturing in that number smoke detector activities and assisting public with installing smoke detectors and installing batteries and things like that.
Is this the percentage breakdown? Is that for the month or for the year?
This is for the month.
For the month. Okay,
Yep.
thank you.
Okay. And then moving to fourth and fifth seat coverage, we were up for both of those this month. We're still at 72% for the fourth seat and 36% for fifth seat coverage. Again, what was interesting is I ran the numbers for the year to date. With volunteer participation, we hope to bolster some of this coverage because there's just a certain amount we can get by the time we do vacation and leave for paid personnel. And what we found is we're up 100% in volunteer participation overall, but a ton of it was in activities like MERV shifts. Those were up quite a bit. So doesn't paint the whole picture, but we're still not getting quite the coverage we wanted. And we also see certain days where, like Tuesday, we'll have a lot of people working because that's drill night. So it's not completely balanced either. So we had a number of days where we had several people working and others where we only had three. For volunteer recruitment and retention, we have 7 applications in process right now. I believe, is it next week? They're going to, this Friday is the panel interview for them. So hope to have them in front of the board soon and ready for the winter fire academy. Upcoming events, we've got all the Christmas things. We've got the Christmas party on December 14th, of course, and then we've got Santa's sleigh and the Holly Jolly parade. So we'll make sure to get the word out to the commissioners too, or let us know if you want to participate in any of that.
Chief, I commend you to calling it a Christmas party as opposed to a holiday party because it is around Christmas.
True. True. Okay. So I think at that point, that's the chief's report.
Right. Thank you, Chief. Our next order of business is the Island County Fire Marshal position. We met last week with our counterparts from our other boards, as well as fire chiefs from within the district. Within the county. And one of the items we discussed was encouraging the county to consider reestablishing the fire marshal position. As individual boards, we would like to sign letters letting the county commissioners know that this is something that's important to us and our districts. I have drafted up a letter based on the points that the chief provided with me this evening. I know this is last minute, as many of the things are on our agenda this evening. I don't know if anybody, I know I saw Commissioner Noble was taking some notes on the letter.
Minor issues that I'll share with you later. The letter itself is excellent, especially in short time frame.
Commissioner Towers, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at your inbox and read through the letter that I've presented.
Yeah, I have indeed. Same comment as Mike. I've got a couple of minor comments, but I think it captures very well what we're trying to say.
Okay. With that said, I know that this is something, the conversation is scheduled for December. Is that correct with the fire chiefs and the Island County commissioners?
Well, we're trying to get it on the agenda. I think we slipped off again.
Okay. Well, hopefully this letter will help ensure that we get on the agenda, especially if our other fire districts within the county can use this as a draft for their purposes to show this is broadly supported. With that said, I think we would have a motion with the proposed edits to sign this letter. We would probably, Commissioner Towers, when are you back from your travels?
I should be home about lunchtime on Saturday.
Time on Saturday. So perhaps by Monday, if we can have the corrections made, we could all sign this and that way we can get it to the county commissioners. Is that a fair timeline and approach? Make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One question. Okaba was not at the meeting while they have a fire marshal, I believe, in the city. Have we considered asking them to support us?
We have talked to Oak Harbor, and they have some ideas about, they were interested in potentially, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but there had been informal conversation about the potential for Oak Harbor provisioning fire marshal service for the county.
Okay.
So they're kind of on a different path, I think.
I have the next ICOM meeting this Monday, and that I do not recall his name right now because names are not my strength. But the fire chief for Oak Harbor should be there. He has been attending the past meetings that I've been to, so I can take that opportunity to have that discussion with him on Monday. Okay.
So I would move that the Board of South Florida Fire and EMS approve the proposed letter from Chair Erickson with the goal of, dare I be humorous, to light a fire under the county commissioners to get them forward.
Maybe a fire marshal could put it out.
The motion would be to produce a formal letter based on the text that Commissioner Erickson produced and be sending that to the county commissioners.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. So we'll be making sure we get signatures for that on Monday, and then Sherry, could I ask you to share this with the other districts so that they have a copy for their purposes, for their meetings? Wonderful. Thank you.
The final draft?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Unless the timeline causes us to need to push that up at all. All right. Our next order of business is the Windermere Buyer Brokerage Service Agreement. We have a former volunteer who is a realtor, and she is on tap to help us find some real estate.
I'm losing you again.
Sorry, Commissioner Towers, is that better?
That's great.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for letting me know. The next item on our agenda is the buyer brokerage services agreement with Christina Boom.
Okay, so this is a brokerage services agreement so that Christina would be able to represent us as our real estate agent. We have had discussion already, as I've had discussion with the board on this, and this would need to be signed before we could go further with the realtor, with Christina. So by state law, you have to have a buyer brokerage services agreement. So I would ask for the board to either approve of and sign this, or approve that I would be able to sign the brokerage agreement.
Clarification, Chief, which is appropriate, which is better legally or whatever?
Well, I think
Probably you. I think
it
it would
would
be you.
be, yeah, it would probably be easiest for myself to do it with the board's approval. That way we can get this going and get it back to her.
I move the Board of South Florida Fire and EMS approve a buyer brokerage service agreement with the Windermere office, and I don't see it right here with the name of the broker, but I'm assuming that's a sufficient. Okay, here we go. It is with the broker, Christina Boom.
Do I have a second?
I had one question on this, and that was in the event that there's a seller's agent, who would pay the commission to the seller's agent?
To be honest with you, Towers, we went over all that in detail, and I don't recall exactly what it would look like. There were a few different scenarios that could play out.
Well, and the whole world has changed in the past 3 or 4 months. So what it was a year ago or 6 months ago is not the same now.
Yeah, that it I read through it, and I couldn't find a definition of where it of who exactly would pay the seller's commission if there was one, and there might well not be. But again, it could add 5% or so in commission if there was a seller's broker.
Yeah, and she, like I said, she did. I'm sure she'd be willing to have a conversation about it. There, she laid out a number of different scenarios and how that would work out and strategies she would use to essentially save us money.
This will be contingent on who the seller is. It will depend on.
Yes.
It depends on the scenario.
Yeah. Absolutely depends on who the seller is. And, you know, I'd like something that limits what our exposure is on seller's commission. But other than that, I'm good with the agreement.
If we give you our consent to move ahead with this, this is something you will address when you finalize this with Christina.
Yeah, so are you, just to clarify, so you're okay with going ahead with this now, but just to have the conversation with her to ensure that we're doing the best we can to protect ourselves there?
Yeah, that's the intent of my motion, is to basically take what is here and with the conversation with Commissioner Towers, Commissioner Erickson, and me, to move forward.
Okay.
So I've had a motion. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. Chief, you are good to go.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. We are moving right along. The next order of business is the salary matrix. Is this something we...
should be an executive.
Right? Do we want to move this to executive session, or are there any parts of it that are for public consumption?
Yeah, I could cover what's in the document.
Okay.
And then move into executive session to talk about specifics.
Okay.
So basically, with the purpose of the salary matrix was to make sure that we're in line with a competitive salary for both current employees and in going out to, you know, attract talent to the district. We have in the district people who are covered by the collective bargaining agreement represented employees. They're under their own salary matrix that was negotiated. And then we have folks who are not represented, and amongst those non-represented, we have some uniformed personnel and some non-uniform personnel. And the reason that's important for the purposes of the salary matrix is the uniform non-represented fit in with the ranked represented personnel above the level of captain. So in other words, we know we have a fixed pay scale for the captain in the collective bargaining agreement, and we have to fit our division chief above that, and preferably at a salary that's above that. We were not there currently. Currently, the captain's wages are higher. We don't have any captains, but we're talking about promoting one this year. So the methodology that we use to do this is twofold. One, for the uniform non-represented, we placed them at 5% above bottom step captain and kept our same methodology for the salary matrix, which was each grade starts at 5% above market value from the grade below. That makes sense. I can explain it to you with the matrix in hand, if not. So that
I would take the explanation.
Okay, I can go through that in just a second here. So with that in mind, we kind of have that set, that top half of the salary matrix, which is uniform personnel. For the rest of the personnel in the salary matrix, we went out and got some comparable districts And most of those districts we based on the 50-50 rule of or 51-50 rule, where the comparable districts had a levy that was 50% less or 150% of ours, and a population that was 50% less or 150% above. And they were on the west side of the state, and they were fire districts. So that's how we generated those comps. At the request of Commissioner Towers, we did add in Central Whidbey Fire and Rescue to that today.
Thanks.
So we ran those numbers and we put those in that board document, and that gives us an idea as to where we should be. Truth be told, we're kind of all over the place on what people are paying for those. So where we ended up with that half of the matrix was to start grade one, step one, after we had done that work, fell out almost to exactly Seattle minimum wage for 2025. So we adjusted that to be Seattle minimum wage because the matrix couldn't go it could go lower than that, but I don't think that would be a good approach. And then we just used the matrix formula from there. And that's where it ended up. In the documents that you have, and what we'll talk about in executive session, is where individuals ended up and what the budget impact was and how much of a raise each of those individuals would get. And so we can talk about a couple of different scenarios for that. So for Chair Erickson's benefit, if you look at the salary matrix, and we'll just pick a grade and step. So if you take grade three, for instance. So you find the grade three along the left-hand side, and then you'll find numbers across the top, and across the top between two and four is market. So if you go grade three and then down to where market is, you see that salary? Okay, so we increase that by 5%, and that is the minimum for grade four. And that's how the matrix goes up from bottom to top. Where that breaks, so if we start down there, grade one, step one, or grade one minimum, that's Seattle minimum wage for 25. And then the matrix just builds from there. And the percentage increases you can see for each step are written across the top. So it goes 3%, 3%, 3%, and then 2% beyond that. With me so far?
Doing some quick mental math.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you, so the 5%, you were talking about from the bottom to the top, mm-hmm. about 5%, and that, can you just explain the 5% one more time?
Okay, so we take, when we're going to figure out, so we're working from, say we're on grade three, mm-hmm. and we're trying to figure out what should grade four be? What do we start grade four at? We start grade four minimum at 5% above grade three market.
And so that'd be the same thing from four to five?
Yep.
Hey, I'm connecting the dots.
Connecting the dots. And it goes that way until you get to grade eight.
Yeah.
Grade eight is captain.
And then there's only steps 9 and 10.
Yeah. And so after that, those next two grades are related to captain as follows. We took the lowest step for captain, which is parked at 9, which just because we just put it there. Okay. We added 5% to that, and that's the minimum for division chief.
So it really steps.
Yeah. Yep. So, and then it steps up from there. So they really, they actually fit in together pretty well. Now we did the same for assistant chief. Okay. And chief has not been on this matrix previously.
Okay.
Okay. So, and at that point, if you guys don't have other questions on that for now, we could go into executive and get into a little bit more detail.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Unless there is a better scenario, Commissioner Towers, I would propose that when we get into the boardroom, we will call you in so that you can participate.
I think there's a separate meeting notice sent out so I can join.
Okay, so we can do the Zoom from the boardroom and bring you in that way?
Yeah, and this will be a separate Zoom conference. It won't be this Zoom conference. I'll have to log off and log on again.
All right, well, we have a plan. So that's great.
See you in a minute.
I usually look at the computer screen. My iPad said it's 6:26. We need to take a break for executive session. We will both be discussing personnel matters and consideration of the acquisition of real estate. How much time do we think we would like to set aside for those? How much time would we like for executive session?
I would say let's give ourselves a half an hour to start with.
Half an hour. So I would like to visit the restroom. Let's say we'll reconvene at 7.
Okay.
Does that work? Okay.
We would reconvene sooner than 7 o'clock.
It's 6:27. I would like to use the restroom. And if we give ourselves 30 minutes, then I propose we give ourselves 3 minutes to come back at 7. Does that work?
Good.
Okay. It says record. Okay, it is 7 o'clock. We had designated this to be the time to end our executive session, but we still have more to discuss. We are going to extend this until 7:10, and hopefully we will have covered everything we are looking to cover. So we'll see you all back in 10 minutes. Thank you. All right. Yes, Commissioner Towers joined us, rejoined us. He said he would come back, so we'll wait for Commissioner Towers to return. There he is. Welcome back, Commissioner Towers and everybody else. It is 7:11. I will call our meeting back to order. We've had an opportunity to understand the salary matrix and how that impacts our budget. So I'd like to return to our discussion of the 2025 budget. What we were looking at is getting approval for the proposed budget with an updated salary matrix. So that we're able to present that to the county.
Yes. So we have put together the budget and input most of the, we've input figures for all of the salary matrix, and we have completed the levy certification documents as well, which are in the packet. And, I would open up to the commissioners if you have any questions.
I have no questions.
Me neither.
All right. I would entertain a motion to approve this 2025 budget.
I move the Board of Commissioners approve the 2025 budget as amended to include the salary matrix.
Seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The budget is approved.
Good job, Chief and staff.
Thank you, commissioners.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much for all the work that's gone into putting this together.
Yeah, Mary Kay has done a tremendous amount of work on this, as well as the whole team has, but so big shout out to everybody working on that.
Yeah. Shari, thank you very much for getting me all the documents and things.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. The other items on our agenda include announcements and comments from commissioners. I realize I have one order of business, which is we have, as a board, ensured that we give our chief an evaluation, and we need to set a date for when we would like to do that. So I apologize for not having put it on the agenda at the beginning, but we'll just have to do a little calendaring here before we adjourn. First off, we've covered some of the upcoming events that we have in December. Are there any other announcements we should know about? I don't see any.
I think we got them covered.
Got
yeah.
them covered. Do I have any comments from commissioners?
No.
No specific comments, except I did have an experience about a week and a half ago when a neighbor or somebody knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, and it was on a Sunday. And I was thinking, is this a political candidate on a Sunday? And it turned out there was a woman who had lost her dog. She lives at Ewing and one of the other roads towards Max Welton. And she said, well, years ago, you used to have to go down at the end of our addition down to the water, and they wanted to find out where the dog was. So I directed her to our homeowner association's trail to the beach, gave her one of my business cards, and I said, you can be my guest, because technically our HOA wouldn't permit somebody to live there. Long story short, I'm driving out about 3 hours later, and she's coming up with her family, and I said, you didn't find the dog? And she said, well, the dog's up on a ledge. And I said, and she a friend of hers was going to rappel down to the ledge. And I said, no, call 911. We deal with this. I said often, but I surely should have said on occasion. So long story short, 911 sent to Swiffy, and Swiffy sent out the dog rescue crew, and they were heroes, and everybody's happy the dog was brought up the hill, or brought down the hill, actually. I like to say when it's a new recruit, but I take my hat off to everybody who took care of that. The family's happy, and I'm sure the dog's happy.
Dog was very happy.
I had the opportunity to, was that, we're good to move on?
Yes.
Okay. I had the opportunity to attend the Washington Fire Commissioners Conference in Spokane last month. It was my second time, and I would say felt like I had a better understanding and looked at it as an opportunity to learn. Some of the content was very similar to last year, but the last section, which was Saturday morning, they did a presentation on PTSD, and it specifically discussed kind of comparing the fire service to folks who do major disaster response. And what I thought was really encouraging to hear from that was that the fire service has a long history of ensuring mental health. And when you look at major disaster response, the infrastructure to support that is not as strong. So I felt I was encouraged to learn that. The presenter has done a lot of research, but I just thought it was nice to know, like, the fire service is doing a good job when it comes to making sure that folks are well cared for, and that we kind of address some of the issues that come up. So there's that was a positive takeaway for me, in addition to just having the opportunity to learn from other fire commissioners, both within our county as well as across the state. So I have a lot of good takeaways from my notes and things that I hope to continue to work into serving as a fire commissioner. The other item that I wanted to bring up is the continued discussion of the sales tax proposal by ICOM. So they're going to be asking, I believe it's in April, for the voters to put in a 2/10, it's 2 cents per $10 spent on sales tax to help fund ICOM's budget. And so that is a strategy that is underway. And so just stay tuned, watch the minutes that come through from that. And those are my items. And then, so lastly, I would ask if we could look at our calendars quickly for when we might want to take a look at the chief's evaluation. There was discussion perhaps of doing it next week, but I'm wondering if we want to wait until December, since we are looking at the performance for 2024, the year that we are in.
I am available next week any day.
All right, so we do want to get it done in November.
I'm ambivalent. I think conditions will be similar in next week or in December.
Next week. Okay. Oh.
And I propose that the meeting start at 4 versus 5:30. Or even earlier, get it done.
I think I would just have to ask for, I would have to confirm with my family that I will be able to step away. Next week is, I would have to move some things around, but I can possibly make it happen. Are we proposing Thursday next week?
Let me just take a quick look at my calendar. I don't think there's a lot.
Thursday next week.
Tuesday, I couldn't do it Tuesday. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I'm free from 3 o'clock onwards.
So Thursday, that's
Thursday would work.
So do you want to do Thursday at 3?
I'd like to keep it to 4 if we can.
I'm fine. 4 on Thursday is fine.
I will have to confirm that I am able to get the support from my family to attend. Okay. So tentatively, we are on for 4 p.m. Thursday. To have a, hold a special meeting to evaluate the chief's performance for 2024. And as such, we will put out a special meeting notice for that if we are all able to attend. Okay, very good.
Whew. Is there anything else we will need to address by that time, or have we got everything covered, Chief?
As far as the eval goes,
no, I was thinking more, you know, is there any other business that, you know, is going to come up in the next week or so?
I don't think so, but
okay.
I'll let you know. I know we need to work on the cost analysis and the putting the numbers that we have into the 20-year, but I don't think that has to be next week's.
Okay. No.
The time is 7:22. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I think Commissioner Noble is in favor as well.
I'm sorry. Aye.
All right. Very good. The meeting is adjourned.